What is going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome in to the Lineup Logic Podcast, the NBA Daily Fantasy Podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the slate to come on FanDuel here. I am your host. My name is Sean Kane. It is Thursday, March 30th. Man, March coming to an end. Third full month of the pod here. Craziness, man. It just absolutely wild to think that we've been at this for three full months, the way that it's grown here during the NBA season. A little bit disappointing to know that NBA is coming to a close. But hey, we got some great slates this week. Last night, I don't know quite what to say about last night. Here's what I'll say. Player pool was sound. Cheat sheet was good. I was distracted. Didn't make good lineups. Really, I had this feeling like in my bones that this was a trappy slate. Like this was a weird slate. There was like, it didn't feel right. And for me, it didn't work out. Now, that said, the player pool was really strong and guys cashed anyway. So really, really happy for everybody that cashed. Really nice. Me, I got, sank like a rock. I just was like laying at the bottom of the pool. You know that scene in Ferris Bueller where Cameron falls to the bottom of the pool and he just lays there and they think he's dead? Yeah, that was me last night in FD. but hey, a lot of people did absolutely great work in there. Really, really happy. And of course, let's give some shout outs real quick. Shout out to Jay Rossi getting in there, getting some cash taken care of. Edward, nicely done. Easy Eddie, Raja Goodell, another big number. Well done. In the buckets, first place in the Buckets R Us contest. That must be a personal contest. Well, I like that a lot. Also with the Game of Thrones reference here, back like Jon Snow. Yeah, we're back like Jon Snow. God, if there's anybody that we should be modeling our FD careers after, it is the House of the Wolf, King of the North, Jon Snow. You know, why wouldn't we? 100%. Kind of Big Sean with the big cash there. Nicely done. Scott getting it done again. Josh, I mean, this is the kind of night Josh tweeted. You tweeted me this picture, Josh, and his top two lines, one, $224, bottom of the barrel. The other one, 376 points on the opposite end of things. I mean, just amazing. I mean, that's what it was. It was one of those nights where like you were in it or you were toast. There wasn't a lot of like tight range of outcomes. You had the right guys or you didn't. Joe Berg, well done, sir. JJF, really, really nice, man. Just some huge numbers from people. Santiago, again, well done. You know, huge numbers for people. Really, really, really happy for you guys hitting those big numbers. Well done, of course. Me, not so much. Not so much. You know, and it was one of those things I said on the pod yesterday. I got to go out to a thing tomorrow night, so I may not be on Twitter. So again, if you ask me questions, there's some nights where I'm just not going to be around at lineup lock. And I wasn't. And normally, you know, I'll do the pod. I'll tinker with my lines after the show for a little bit. Take a break for a little while. You know, I've been doing a lot of baseball research, for example, you know, whatever. And then I'll sit down right around 6:30 and I'll go back, check all the news, tinker, talk to people, get to where I really want to be. And I feel like, you know, I'm making smart decisions and go through that, like, why does my lineup suck process? And last night I didn't like my lineup, but I didn't get to go through the why does my lineup suck process. And it sucked. I mean, it wasn't terrible by the books, like, but it just didn't work out. And it's not the way that I like to play. So what are you going to do? We got to break down another slate. It's a really nice Thursday slate too. Only a five gamer, but juicy. In the next hour, we are going to preview the night to come, NBA spreads, injuries, news, all that good stuff. We'll target. We'll talk about the player breakdown on the slate upcoming. And before we do that, let's do a full recap of yesterday's lineup. One of these nights. Well, Okay, so, you know, you heard me talk about this a second ago, but here's where I end up. I mean, I titled the episode, by the way, After Russell Westbrook for a reason. It was titled A Wise Man Once Whispered Westbrook. I mean, that was so ominous. But of course, he's owned at 94% in all cash games. It's unbelievable. You know, and actually, listen, if you faded Westbrook, you definitely had some ground to make up. 88 points is insanity. You know what's even more? I tweeted this out the other night. It's insane to me that the freaking Magic had a lead, 22-1 point lead on the Thunder. The Thunder have problems right now, guys. I don't know what they need, but if you can't do it with a man who goes for a triple-double every single night, who scores 57 points, 11 assists, 13 rebounds with 3 steals, if you can't consistently win with one of the greatest physical specimens of our time, honestly, one of the greatest, this is one of the greatest basketball players to witness in history. And if you're, you know, a hater because he's not a good team player and he's running KD off and the Thunder aren't any good anyway, well, I agree with that. It's not really a team situation. This is one of the most greatest individual performances and greatest individual seasons we've seen in a long time. I don't know. Harden, obviously, from a team perspective, his team is much better, and I think from an MVP perspective, he may have an argument there, but Russ, just, I just don't know why we would, you know, be so snarky and, you know, and be like, well, Russ doesn't deserve the MVP because they're just not that good. I mean, this is one of the most outstanding individual seasons that we've ever seen. Look, can we just reward that and just enjoy it and just not think too hard about it? I guess just, I mean, come on. I don't know. It would be one of those weird asterisk type seasons if we were like, yes, Russell Westbrook deserves the MVP, outstanding individual contributions, but his team wasn't good enough. Yeah, okay. All right. You're thinking too hard. Let's have a little fun here. Anyway, Westy, TJ McConnell, the whole world did that pairing. Which if you went opposite and you went Wall and Westbrook, or Well and Paul Wall, shout out to Paul Wall. Then you were good. You know, and then Monte fucking Ellis. Give me a break, Monte Ellis. Why did I chase you? I don't like to play you. I hate you, but you fit and you were a price fit and I chased the shit out of you and I'm so furious. Rodney Hood, good job, Rodney Hood. Well done. Kawhi, 19 points in the first quarter and then only scores 12 in the rest of the game. Golden State, man, defense. They are playing some serious defense. It was reachy to pay for Kawhi at 9,800. I didn't love it. It felt weird. I kept asking myself, why are we paying for Kawhi? Okay, because the small forward, I hated small forward. And as we should, you know, I just, and with all the news that opened up about Bob Cove, you know, people got on Justin Anderson and Timothy Loa-Cabarrot, whatever. That helped a lot because those guys just had to play minutes. Torian Prince, it's over. Torian Prince is over. It's done. Ken Bazemore's back. Zach Randolph felt like a must play, and you hate to have a must play who's like a 40-year-old man, but he was a must play. I mean, Indiana's terrible in the front court, and Zach Randolph starting for Marc Gasol, I mean, he only had 27 points, though. You know, it didn't kill you because that was a 5X. Ersan jumps out to a great start and then just falls flat on his face in the revenge game because Dwight basically did everything down low. 3 rebounds for a guy who's 6'10". Great job, Ersan. Appreciate your contributions. Rudy. God, Rudy was supposed to be everything. And I chased him. I chased him right down the fucking street. And 34 points. I mean, it's just... bummer. Bummer. I mean, why go for Rudy when you had Dwight in the best matchup there? It was just being cute. I was being cute and I was chasing. I was being cute and I was being chasey. And you know what? You guys know based on my lineups, I hate reaching for studs based on the way that we always build on the show. Like I like to say, don't max out. Don't force too many studs into your lineup. Well, this is a prime example of why you don't force too many studs in your lineup, right? If I had said, okay, Westy is my stud, period. And then I had balanced out the rest of my lineup, I probably would have ended up fine because my core guys, Enes Kanter, James Johnson played really well. You know, and maybe I would have been able to get up off of TJ and get to, you know, Alfred Payton playing extremely well. You know, we talked about how he has a thing against Russell Westbrook in these games, you know. He played well enough to do good work for you, but of course we also saw great numbers from, you know, John Wall and Chris Paul. And I said, these guys are underpriced for what they're going to do. And I said, DeAndre Jordan, another really, really good option tonight. And I didn't take any of my own advice. The one thing I was really disappointed in is my not trusting DeMar. DeMar has been getting low ownership. And I thought, okay, it's a good time to jump off of him just because I didn't know what was going to happen. He goes for 45. And I really, really like DeMar DeRozan. You know, I think he's been playing extremely well and he's productive, and you play shooting guards against Charlotte. I didn't trust the situation. I'm a little upset about that. Now, there's one more thing that I wanted to talk about here because I got a DM about it just last night from one of the subscribers on Patreon. And he's like, dude, I'm in a bunch of cash games, my $1 50-50, my, you know, $2 50-50, my $5 50-50, all the way up. Da, 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 da. And he's like, and I keep seeing all of the same guys with the same lineup. And he screenshotted it to me. And sure enough, it's a bunch of the Roto Grinders guys and a bunch of the Fantasy Labs guys. And, you know, it's like, well, these are the sharks. They're swimming with the sharks. And I want to be really clear. Like, one, we shouldn't be afraid of these guys in cash games. And here's why, okay? Here's why. Like, they, as much volume as they play, okay, they're losing money on a regular basis, okay? So you have these guys, you're going to see them all over the place. You're going to see these guys. And, like, you know, I'm not the kind of person who's going to be like, well, sharks are terrible. They're the worst. They're the worst out there. But you're gonna see CSU Ram. You're gonna see Big Papa Gates. You're gonna see Makasupa. You're gonna see Third and Schlong. I mean, and these guys are pros for a reason. They're really good. You're gonna see Nexus. You're gonna see Bird Wings, Eroxia. All of these guys in your cash games, okay? And they're damn good fantasy players. But what you're also going to see is you're going to see them all on the same exact play. You're gonna see them with the same lineups. You're going to see them with the same play. And the reason that you're going to see that, you know, I mean, I'm looking at my 50-50 right here, and I've got all of these guys. And then you add, I've got Notorious, got Hoop 2410, 400-foot home run, Laser Hot, Killer B, you know, all these guys. And they're pros, man. These guys are damn good at what they do, honestly. They really, really are. But you're going to see them on the exact same plays. And you're going to see a lot of them with the same lineups. And you're going to see them with chalkity chalk, chalk, chalk lineups. I'm looking at one of the lineups right now. Here's the ownership percentages of the guys that they were on. 94%, 71%, 25%, 25%, 80%, 60%, 83%, 72%. What does that tell you? It tells you that it's very easy to differentiate yourselves from these sharps. It's very easy. First of all, we're not playing the same volume that they are, okay? So we have to find an advantage. Well, the advantage is understanding how these guys create lineups. And they play such volume that they rely very, very heavily on their models. They rely extremely heavily on their models. So, I mean, these are the guys who build the fucking models at Roto Grinders and Fantasy Labs. This is their baby. That's their thing. I mean, they're damn good at what they do, and they build the models, and they trust the models, and they stick to them, regardless of the night. So you're going to see these massive ownership numbers. They are going to be on the highest owned guys, no question asked. I mean, they are going to be on these guys every single time. And the advantage that you have is going to be when you are able to pivot ever so slightly off of the players that they are on, okay? You know, and last night, for example, they were all of them were on, you know, Russ and Dwight. Great. Well, if you faded Russ, it was really hard to make up. But you did have some savings offering if maybe you went to a Wall and a Paul. You have an advantage there. If you went to DeRozan, none of them were on DeRozan. The models didn't show that DeRozan was going to have a good game. So what I suggest here, guys, is when you're building lines, like we are trying to use a little bit of a more of a human touch, a little bit more of a, you know, a gamesmanship here, a little bit less of this just computer-generated lineup situation where we are really thinking and using our judgment to target certain players that aren't just being spit out by the model, but using it to figure out where we can take calculated risks to get ownership advantages over some of these guys, you know? And we look at, like, Wednesday night, for example, when everybody crushed because we had ownership advantages in certain spots, you know, and when certain players aren't being played because they're not high in the models, we're on them, you know? And that kind of risk, calculated risk, it is a risk, because last night was an example of when the chalk crushed, and I sitting at the bottom of the pool like Cameron and Ferris Bueller is dying. But when the chalk crushes, you're kind of up shit creek. But if the chalk does anything below what it's supposed to do, then you're at a real serious advantage. And that's what, you know, like, that's the game, man. We'll play the game. It's fun. It's fun to play the game. And you know, hey, they're going to play $5,000 a night. That's awesome. Good. We're not that guy. So you get out there and you win your 50-50 and you move on. I mean, so, you know, that's part of the game, you know, that's part of the challenge. And that's part of what I love about that challenge. I love it. So interesting things, you know, this is the argument for slight differentiation. This is what I say. When you want to figure out kind of how people are going to where people are going to put their money in a given night, do yourself a favor. Just go to RotoGrinders. Okay. Go over to RotoGrinders, click on research tools, click on player projections. All right. And all you have to do is just leave it right there and look at all the players that are projected to go to 5X. Jamal Crawford, Tobias Harris, Ish Smith, Georgie Dang, Larry Nance, Lou Williams, Tyler Ulis, D'Angelo Russell, KCP, Jordan Clarkson, Andre Drummond, Nico Mirotic. All those guys will be in lineups. Small pivots. Little decisions that won't go into the models, that won't go into the optimizers, guys that won't make the cut in the optimizers. That's where you go. You make little decisions, one or two of them. You don't have to make a ton of them. You make one or two decisions, and that's all you really need, okay? And that's what we try to do. You have to take a couple calculated risks, and every once in a while, those calculated risks pay off, and sometimes they don't. For example, when you're owning Rudy Gobert at 10% in a matchup where they crush the Kings. I mean, that's just an example. It's one example of maybe something that happened to me recently. I have, you know, hey. All right, let's not waste much more time. That's enough about that. Let's go into tonight. Okay, so we have, like I said, five super, super juicy games. This is a juicy five-game slate, a slate that I really, really like. Huge totals all the way across the board. Not one game below 210. Gotta love it. First game of the night, Brooklyn at Detroit. Ugh, ugly game, but good for fantasy purposes. 211 total here. Detroit favored by 6. Detroit, you know, kind of in this, like, development mode. They're not mathematically out of it, but they are almost out of it completely. No question. You know, just not really a good chance now that they're in the 10 seed and they're full three games back from the Heat. The, you know, Pacers, by the way, back-to-back losses. They drop down into the 8 seed. Heat jumping up into the 7 seed. Man. And Hawks and Bucks tied right there in the middle. It's really this 5 through 8 seed where people are jockeying for position. And I think the Hawks and the Bucks are going to want to stay in that 5 and the 6 seed so they don't have to go up and play the Wizards or the... the Celtics or the Cavs, honestly. Celtics, Wizards, and Cavs at the top. You don't really want to do that. So I think Hawks and Bucks are going to continue to fight for that spot while the Heat maybe try to get a game here or there up on the Pacers. And Bulls technically not mathematically eliminated. And if there's one thing I know about Garpacks, they're dumb enough to continue to want to push this season further because, you know, that makes sense. That's a really good idea. Good judgment, Garpax. Anyway. By the way, I forgot to say, this. This one's for you, Gene. Fuck you, Tim Hardaway Jr. speaking of the Hawks, just can't get it done, man. Like 20 points last night, just against the Sixers. Come on, bro. Anyway, Cleveland at Chicago, 211 total. Oh, sorry. Detroit Brooklyn game, 211 total here. Detroit favored by 6 at home, obviously. I think what we are really excited about here is the possibility of Reggie Jackson just being shut down for the season. Apparently, he's just not been healthy, or so they're saying. And they're just giving Ish Smith the keys because they like the way he runs the offense more. 30 minutes for Ish Smith in the last couple games. I think you see the same thing tonight. I think, you know, unless we get some weird news that Reggie Jackson will start, I just don't see it happening. I see them headed more in the direction of let's let Ish Smith play and get some minutes here and let Reggie just kind of shut down that knee. And then get rid of Reggie. Cleveland at Chicago, 211 total here. Cleveland favored by 5. God, the Cleveland Cavaliers are so beat up. No players are resting on the Cavs. Kyle Korver out with the foot. Shump's going to play, though. Bulls, we have the same rotation that we've had for the Bulls. And, you know, basically on the starting five, same guys. Rondo, Butler, Zipser, Mirotic, and Rolo. You know, and the Bulls have had a really good year against the Cavs right now. But I think you got to think the Cavs really want this game after the Celtics drop a game last night to the Bucks. This is a good opportunity for the Cavs to kind of sneak back up into that one seed and just kind of hold there. Lakers at Minnesota, 218 total here. Minnesota favored by 10 at home. We know Tibbs isn't going to shut anybody down, so okay, great. And, you know, Lakers in development mode here. D'Angelo Russell just absolutely crushing lately at the wing. He just is playing so well as the two. And, you know, he's listed as a point guard, but he's playing the two. Let's be clear about this, which is really, I think, his future role. I really don't see him going back in this Lakers organization. I really, really, really don't see him going back to the one. You know, the combination of the way that Clarkson has been running the point guard very efficiently. He's a much more traditional point guard, I think, you know, distribute first kind of guy, whereas D'Angelo is a great two. He loves to shoot and plays well off the ball. So, you know, good to see the Lakers doing well. I like rooting for these young guys. But, of course, the so juicy on the Minnesota side of the ball, such just so many minutes, good prices. You know, you just love that Minnesota side. So, Plenty of Wolves in play tonight. Clippers at Phoenix, 220 total here. Clips coming off that big win where they played a ton of minutes in that massive pace game. And, you know, hey, that game went way higher scoring than I expected it. Vegas had it at like 219, 220. It went for 250. That's craziness. Wiz defense just wasn't there. The legs of the Wiz are just not there. They need a couple rest games just like the Cavs do. You know, I don't necessarily see here's what I think is going to happen with the rest situation for the Clippers. Okay. By the way, Clippers now very firmly in the 5 seed, you know, a whole game up on the Thunder, and a game and a half back of the Jazz. All right. This is where they want to be. I think they just want to hold in this spot. They really want to hold in this spot. They got two nice games this week before, a game against the Mavs this weekend, at home. But they got the Lakers and the Suns, this week. So, you know, you got to think that they're going to make sure that they get both of those wins, which means I don't think that they're going to rest. Like, I just don't see them doing a rest thing in this game. What I do see, however, is I do see the same model that they used when they played the Lakers and the Knicks a week and a half ago, which is 28 minutes, run the starters out there for normal three quarters, go get a lead, play hard, play 100% for three quarters, get a 20-point lead, sit down in the fourth. Okay, and if you look back at the game logs, that's basically what the Clippers were doing. Okay, they get 28 minutes for Blake, DeAndre, and Paul, and then they shut them down and they sit them down. it's not, that's what they're going to do against Phoenix here. Phoenix in total punt mode and totally, totally trying to, you know, bury themselves in the standings here. Booker banged up with the ankle. We don't see, I don't know if we're going to see him, but of course, you know, you got no Chandler, no Knight, no Bledsoe. So look for the young guys, tons of minutes for TJ Warren, Marcus Chris, and Tyler Ulis. Now, you know, not a perfect matchup against the Clippers defense here, but when guys are playing that many minutes and they may get second unit run or get the second unit, they're always fantasy viable because, you know, they're just, there's so many minutes there for them and an opportunity. So Houston at Portland, man, last game of the night. This is a juicy one, guys. This is a juicy one. 230 total here. Houston only favored by two on the road with the way that Portland's been playing. Really, really, really nice. You know, no news that Harden is going to rest. This wrist is like a ghost injury, but he has not been shooting well. One, he has not been shooting well at all. Two, he has told D'Antoni that he doesn't want to rest. I think this is partially pride. This is partially MVP. He and Russ have this chip on their shoulder about the resting studs thing. They're kind of trying to be the anti-Warriors Cavs, which I love, by the way. I love it. I love the whole, we are not the Warriors, we are not the Cavs, we are solo superstars with role players and regular guys. We are not the big three. We are, you know, oh man, it just makes me happy. It makes me want to root for them. You know, not because I hate the big three or anything like that, or I hate the Warriors and the Cavs. The Warriors are so fun to watch, but I just think that it's just really healthy for the game to be this competitive. I love it. That's really awesome. Harden, though, you got to love him at this spot. 12-4, very reasonable price for this man who has a, you know, 60-plus point ceiling in this situation. Of course, the wrist is bothering him. You know, but you do love this game, stackable for sure. Get a couple pieces of it. You got to have some exposure as the late hammer here. And guess what? The whole world's going to be on James Harden tonight. Unless you are a believer that he is injured and you want to spend your money just for variance purposes on the Cleveland-Chicago game, or you want to spend your money on the Laker-Minnesota game, you know, that's where people are going to put their stud money, is on James Harden. I'm not different. You got a massive risk fading him. It's damned if you do, damned if you don't. If he goes for 70, it could happen. Okay. All right, so that's what we got. Five games, not one total below 211. Lowest total on the night is this Detroit-Brooklyn game, which this is a huge total for Detroit. Normally below, you know, which is great. You got three terrible defensive teams on the slate. You got the Lakers, the Suns, and the Nets. It's always a good slate when you got Lakers, Suns, and Nets. And then you got a massive Portland-Houston game. Just juicy, man. Great slate for fantasy. Going to be another big scoring night. Guaranteed. Going to be another night of high scores for sure. No question about it. So get yourself ready for 300. And remember, build the floor, hope for upside. Build the floor, hope for upside. That's what we've been seeing. Build for floor, hope for upside. Don't reach for too many studs. Don't reach for value plays like, oh, I don't know, Monte Ellis, for example. Don't reach for him, idiot, Sean. Anyway, all right. Hey, let's go into the player breakdown and figure out who we love. Who do you love? Top of the slate, we got to break down the studs here, my friends. Figure out where we want to spend our money at the top of the slate here. The lock and load segment. Point guard, it's your man, Damian Lillard. Agent Zero at home, getting Houston. Man's been playing out of his mind. He's been one of my favorite fantasy assets of late, but he did regress a little bit last game against Denver. Had a really nice outing, 40 points. Did regress a little bit, though. 39, excuse me. You know, got the win. Like I said, he played a great game, in the sense that he understood that Nurk and CJ had a distinct advantage and he was okay sharing with them. It's a sign of a good player, man. He knows how to distribute and when to take over. He knows how to do both. You know, this is the highest total in the night, highest pace of the night, huge minutes. He's going to want to get another win to keep the momentum up for the Blazers fans, continue to grow their lead in the 8 seed over the Nuggets, where they now have a one-game advantage, you know. You know, they really have to try to make sure that they get a win, or else they're going to be back tied with the well, they'll have the tiebreaker advantage, right? But they'll be at a tie with the Nuggets. And the Nuggets, you know, the Nuggets are healthy, and they have not been playing extremely well, but the Nuggets are healthy. And the Nuggets, for example, let's see, our upcoming games, they get the Hornets, they get the Heat. Eh. You know, they have a four-game road trip. They have a four-game road trip for the Nuggets, you know. But the Hornets, that's a winnable game for them. The Heat, that's a tough game. It's a two totally different styles of play. Very interesting. And then the Pels and the Rockets. Those aren't easy games for them. So, you know, the Nuggets are going to be watching this one closely and hoping that they get some help from the Blazers in getting an L from the Rockets. But the Blazers, man, if they can get this win, the momentum is just through the roof right now for them. If they can get a home win against the Rockets would be massive for them. So, Dame should be in a good spot. He's averaged 44 in the last five games, but he's only averaged 33 against Houston this year. I'll tell you why that is. It's Pat Bev. That's all Pat Bev defense. I mean, he is no joke. He's a dog, man. They struggle across the board in the front court to DVP, bottom 10 in DVP to the power forward and the center, small forward. They're okay. They are not great against the shooting guard either, but against the point guard, they're top 10. And that's individual defense from Patrick Beverley, who physically matches up extremely well with Damian Lillard, too. There's not a size advantage here, right? Certain sized point guards do really, really well against Pat Bev, but you better believe Pat Bev is going to take it personally here and try to shut down Dame and basically say, okay, let's let the rest of the Blazers beat us. He is their best defender. He matches up really, really well with him. You know, Steph has his number, but okay, Steph also has the number of the Spurs and the Clippers and the everybody else. God, Steph is so back, and it is really scary. So I don't think we can expect Dame to necessarily go back up to that 45-50 mark. If he does, great, but I think there's other high-priced assets on this slate that you want to pursue that feel a little bit more safe. You know, and I for cash games, I don't think you have to have Damian Lillard in this spot. I think you take your exposure to the Blazers in other ways, and there's ways that you can get good 5x exposure to the Blazers. CJ McCollum, Aminu, Nurkic, those guys are going to be really, really be in play. So Dame is not my favorite play in this game, but I don't mind him at all. I think we probably look at setting his floor at about 38 points, but I do think we have a limited ceiling opportunity here as well. Shooting guard, obviously it's James Harden. He's 12-4. This is one of those massive risks in fading Harden. Now, in a tournament, makes total sense. You get a $1 GPP out there, you stack another game, you fade Harden, you see how it goes. Because if Harden busts, then you win. It's called anti-fragile. In cash games, though, he's going to be owned above 50%. I think you have to look his way in cash. As a road favorite with a total above 220 points, Harden has averaged 56 FanDuel points, 70% consistency. He's averaged 59 against the Blazers this year in two games. You know, he hasn't had any interest in resting. And while we know the wrist is an issue and he's kind of been so-so in the last couple games, I mean, a so-so James Harden in the last two games still had outings of 52 points, 41 points against OKC where they blew him out, and 74 against New Orleans, and 65 against Denver. And the wrist happened in the Denver series, those back-to-back Denver games. That's when the wrist happened. So he did put up 74 when he had the wrist. And remember, they blew out OKC and he didn't really play in the fourth quarter. And the last game versus Golden State, one of the best defensive teams in the league and who has his number for sure, he only had 52. So, I mean, Portland is not Golden State on defense. Okay, so I think we set his floor at 52, 54, and then we see what kind of upside we can get. Now, if we get any weird news about, you know, he's questionable because of a wrist, then you might want to think about going somewhere else, because there is other studs on this slate that can get you 60 points. Carl Anthony Towns, hello. So I think the thing that I really like about this game is this is going to be an even further competitive matchup, with the Blazers front court playing really, really well. So I've been watching, like I said, I've been watching Blazers games just because I really like rooting for them. Nurk at the five, okay? Nurk plays the five. And then on at the four, it's mostly Vonleh. And then they bring in Aminu at the five to run off the bench while Nurk sits. Okay, they bring in Aminu to run the five, kind of a small ball lineup with CJ at the point. And Aminu has been playing excellent. And then down the stretch, they let Aminu finish the game rather than Vonleh. So, you know, they have a really nice rotation with those three guys. And, man, they've been playing really well. And Aminu has been playing really well. He seems healthy. He's running the floor. Vonleh playing really, really physically aggressive. So I really like the Blazers front court to you know, just be improved. Not necessarily defensively, but offensively producing a lot. And we know that that's where the Rockets' weakness is. So I think that the Blazers front court can keep them in this game. You know, I think the reason, though, that you really play Harden is the peripherals, because just behind the Bulls on this slate, the Blazers offer the most in the peripherals to the guards. Now, you know, we know Harden is a point forward, but he kind of runs that point guard position. I think you have to look for Harden to handle this offense and do plenty of work here. I think, you know, I mean, who on the first unit is going to guard him? Honestly, on the second unit, it's probably going to end up being Al-Farouq Aminu, because Aminu can actually physically match up with him, and he's a pretty good defender. He's got the length, you know, he's pretty long. I think they'll probably get him in there, and then it'll probably on the first unit be a little bit Evan Turner, Mo Harkless. They'll throw five fouls at him each, you know, which hopefully you like, because, you know, maybe you can get some extra, you get some extra free throws for James Harden. And the Blazers, from a you know, a foul perspective, they give it up. You know, they give up 21 fouls a game to you know, that's 25th in the league. They're right there with Brooklyn, Washington, Phoenix, you know, giving up a ton of fouls in this spot. So you really like James Harden to, you know, maybe try to draw a couple extra fouls, get some free throws so he can take some pressure off the wrist and the peripherals. That's why I like him. That's why I like him. Those are the kinds of things that increase a player's ceiling, free throws and peripherals. All right, LeBron, 10-7. Man is beat up. Stop hating on him. Stop hating. Stop the LeBron hate. Appreciate. He's old. He's tired. He's a little bit, sometimes he whines. Yes, sometimes he's very dramatic. But he is in pain, and it's hard to watch. But he can't trust his teammates right now, and he can't trust the rest of this Cavs rotation, and he's going to have to play. They've already announced no one's resting. They need this win. You know, like I said, Milwaukee doing them a favor, taking out the Celtics late. God, Milwaukee's scary. Nobody wants to play Milwaukee. They've beaten the Cavs, but the Bulls have beaten the Cavs twice this year. One time, Rondo triple-doubled. Crazy. Out of nowhere. And then the other time, the Cavs rested a bunch of players and just tried to run Bron out there to beat him. And he couldn't do it. They took over and just let it go. You know, I don't see this game being a blowout, though. But I don't necessarily think the way the Bulls are playing right now that they're going to win this game. Now, they are going to make it competitive, that's for sure, because the Cavs defense sucks. And Jimmy is a challenge for LeBron. Jimmy plays great against LeBron. They're coming off a ton of rest. They've had 3 days off, you know, and I think they're at home. So you really like the Bulls to give this a good game, a good run here, try and get a tough win and maybe, you know, keep themselves in contention. LeBron's averaged 26, 6, and 10 assists against them this year with multiple turnovers, which is limited his upside. But I think that those turnovers are outliers. You know, last year, looked into it, he hit his normal LeBron numbers, 28, 8, and 9, 2 turnovers per game. I think that's what we expect from here. Classic LeBron, 28, 8, and 8, 50 FanDuel points. That's it, you know, especially with a healthy Love and a healthy Kyrie. I think LeBron does his normal LeBron stuff. They win this game by 10, and they move on. And that's what I see from this game, you know, and I see that Vegas is probably right on the number, probably, you know, 111 to 110 type finish, you know, something like that. So, or excuse me, 111 to 100, you know, I just don't see them. I see them more focused coming out of that, you know, tough game with the Spurs in a game they know they can win against the Bulls. The question for me is why would you pay for LeBron at 10-7 when you could have Karl-Anthony Towns at 10-6 against the Lakers? I'm not doing it. I'm not doing that. If you're going to pay 10-7 for a player on this slate, you're paying for Karl Anthony Towns, and you better listen to me, all right? He's at home, and he's playing the Lakers. Karl Anthony Towns, at home, Lakers.
Meow.
All right. Power forward. Sorry, I just meowed. I apologize. Blake, Kevin Love. Blake is not going to do what he did last night. He's not going to do it. Okay. If he does, then I'm sorry. I will eat crow. But he just, this is what Blake does. Okay. Every, you know, once in a while he decides like, yeah, I want to really play. And then he just kind of meh, you know, just meh all. I mean, he's so inconsistent. And honestly, like, think about this. He's going to be coming up on free agency. Why do you want to pay for a guy who just kind of only sometimes shows up to the gym? I don't really want to pay for him. I don't want to build my franchise around this guy. I don't really want to. I mean, even with the great leadership of a guy like Chris Paul, he only shows up every once in a while. Like, is he hurt? If he's hurt, I get it. I don't think he's hurt. I just think that he's kind of a mega player. I don't really know. But anyway, it was regression night last night because they scored 150 points, way more pace and way more points scored than was supposed to be scored in that game. You have to think that part of the reason that he scores 50 is because that game went 25 points over what Vegas projected. That's an outlier, okay? If that game goes back to that normal range of what we expect and it doesn't take that massive pace and all of those possessions, 130 points, where no defense is played whatsoever, then you trim Blake's numbers down. You trim them down in a normal fashion. You trim him down to 6 rebounds instead of 10 rebounds. And you trim him down to, you know, 5 assists instead of 9 assists and 22 points. And he has a really good 40-point game. But it's not necessarily indicative of this. That game was an outlier. You have to look at the total and how many possessions were had. So I don't think Blake necessarily is going to be able to do that again. Again, like I said, I think the Clips are going to get that 28 minutes. They're going to hammer all the way to the third quarter. They're going to take control, and then they're going to run the bench. That's what they're going to do. Now, Phoenix has been playing well. Could Phoenix give them a run for their money? Sure, but this is Phoenix, after all. I don't necessarily see... I don't see this game going too deep. Now, for a contrarian game stack, I don't mind you doing it, because if this game goes deep and it stays competitive, then no one is going to be on the Clippers, because they think exactly like I think. The Clippers should be able to blow them out. So does Vegas. 10-point spread here. They've blown them out a couple of times this year. So I think, you know, we have to be careful with our Clippers exposure. I'm not playing Blake tonight, but I do think it's GPP viable because... again, you know where ownership is going to be tonight, and it's not going to be on the Clippers. Okay? That's true. That's not... if you know where ownership is going to be tonight, which a lot of it is going to be on this Portland-Houston game, and it's going to be on value that's against Brooklyn and value that's against the Lakers. It's me too. Not stupid. But I think that if you want to differentiate, Blake is in play. But I'm not going to put a lot of money on it. Okay? Kevin Love, also differentiation play. He's just cheap. It's 7-4 for a guy with a 40-point ceiling. I mean, this is Kevin Love. He's been getting 30 minutes. The minutes restriction isn't there. The Bulls are pretty mediocre against the forward this year. There's going to be another Kevin Love regression game somewhere before the end of the season. I guarantee it. And this has some potential, and here's why. You know, he's already shown a floor of 30 points against the Bulls, but he shot terribly in that game. On 15 attempts, he shot 6 for 15 against the Bulls in that situation. You know, he doesn't have an amazing career history, but he's going to be going up against Nico Mirotic and Paul Zipser. Probably Nico Mirotic mostly, because Zipser probably... no, that's not true. Zipser will be on help side with LeBron, though. That's for sure. You know, I think that Love is contrarian. People aren't on him right now. This is an easy way if you want a game stack. I mean, if you want a game stack, the Clips and Suns and the Bulls and Cavs and totally fade the Portland game, that's an interesting game stack. Because those are studs in those games that if the game stays competitive, they have ceilings. All those guys, Clippers have ceilings, Cavs have ceilings, Bulls have ceilings. Really interesting game stack candidate right there. Mix and match, maybe get three clips and three clips and three Bulls Cavs, you know, in there. And Kevin Love is priced well. At center, Karl Anthony Towns, 10-6. Karl Anthony Towns at home, he averages 47 points. He had 51 points against the Lakers on the road last game. We know they're bottom DVP to the center. We know Kat's going to get 36 minutes. We know he's better at home. We know he's rested. He's had one day off, which is a lot in a Thibodeau locker room. He's averaged 54 in pace-up games with totals over 215 at home. Okay, six games this year, he's had that situation. He's averaged 54 points. And a couple of those, he's had over 60. I don't see any reason that you don't maybe think that this is one of those 60-pointers from Karl Anthony Towns. Okay? Now, there's a lot of value on the Minnesota side of the ball here, so I don't think you have to just have Towns. I think you can take exposure to the other guys in the Minnesota rotation because it's a very tight rotation, and we know who's going to get the minutes. Thibodeau's kind of an idiot like that. I love him, but he's kind of a maniac. So Karl Anthony Towns is a no-brainer. Do I like him more than Blake? Yep. Do I like him more than LeBron? Yep. Do I like him more than Harden? Nope. Do I like him more than Dame? Yes. So I think that in order of studs ranking, I think it's Harden, Cat. And honestly, it's pretty close. Like if you want to go with the fade Harden because you're scared of the wrist, you better have Cat in that lineup. You better have Cat because it just would be foolish not to. It's just silly. And I there is a line where I have both of them, and I kind of am forcing it, but I don't know. I'm gonna look at it. I'm gonna try. Okay, point guard three. Point guard is deep today, guys. In this mid tier, point guard is very deep. Mid in value, it's very deep. I have to talk about Kyrie Irving. Now, I blasted Kyrie Irving the other day, and clearly he listened to the podcast. Obviously, we know he's pretty much a regular listener. This is important to him. He's one of, you know, the two dozen people that listen on a regular basis. Really appreciate his support. I'm kidding. He came out to the media and was like, I've been playing like shit. I have to do more. It's not right. Well, I mean, this has Kyrie get right all over it. Game they needed to win against one of the worst DVP spots, you know, to the point guard on the slate, Rajon Rondo defense. You know, Kyrie could easily come out and show super duper focus and just lock in here, take 20 shots and go ham. You know, he's that kind of emotional, swingy momentum player. I mean, look at the way he treats Warriors games. He gets up for those. He's young. He's kind of foolish. You know, he could do work in this game. No question. Man in the mirror here. Kyrie is the one who's, you know, there's a little bit of a narrative. And I don't mind that narrative. Now, I don't like Kyrie from a basketball player perspective, but I don't mind Kyrie as a fantasy asset, especially, again, a plus matchup when I think that he could be focused. Like Kyrie against the Lakers. I would take Kyrie against the Lakers. I'm not stupid. You know, he had a great game against the Lakers. It was a plus matchup for him. And he had an excellent, excellent game. And you know what? At 8-8, you could do worse. The man is due for some regression here. You know, 40-point floor in plus matchups in teams like Denver and, you know, Charlotte. Those are plus matchups. And I think that we could easily see him do some good work against this Chicago team who's been very bad against the point guard. Question is his cost. You have that 8-8 in your lineup. Now, you could easily go down to two other really solid mid-tier plays. Like I said, D'Angelo Russell, by the way, needs to be considered, playing extremely well. Only had 30 against Minnesota because they're pretty good perimeter defense. But I think he's in play for some contrarian purposes. But I really love Ricky Rubio at 7-7. We know at this exact same price that he had 51 points against the Lakers last game. It's interesting. Watched him in that Minnesota-Portland game. He really he really handles the ball for the majority of the shot clock. Like, he really, really, really is pretty much just, like, holding the ball for 16 seconds in that shot clock, dribbling. He'll dribble pick and rolls with Cat. He'll try and, you know, create seams in the zone so he can create kick-out lanes. He'll try and collapse the middle so he can dump to Jang. You know, that kind of stuff. Like, he's really, this is really, he'll dribble the baseline to see if anybody pops. You know, he does a lot with the ball. His touches are through the roof. So he's at home. He's got a high total, high pace. He's averaged 36 in those situations. That's plus 12 on his normal projections. That's craziness. You know, I think there's a lot of good reason to roster him, and I've given him a new nickname. He's the Matador, El Matador. That's Spanish for killer. Yeah, Rubio, El Matador. Let's go. And Rajon Rondo, 6'5". Really, really, really nice matchup for Rondo. He has a good history. Really good history. Averaged 39 against the Cavs this year. He had that triple-double where he almost went for 50, and then he went for 30-something against them in Cleveland. Something he likes, you know. And, hey, maybe it's just bad Kyrie Irving defense. Maybe that's what he likes. You know, he's averaged 30 in the last five games. He's shown basically a dead range between trading between 20-point games and 40-point games. 20-point games and 40-point games. He's at home. He's rested. Kyrie Irving defense doesn't scare me. The only thing that I don't love about Rondo in this spot is the 6'5 price tag. I really would prefer him at 5'9 where we've seen him. Because I think he's probably going to do... I think he's probably going to put his floor... Let's put his floor at 24. I don't know how much more he has after that. I don't see this being a situation... I don't know what... His range of outcomes is not tight enough for me to understand what he's going to do. You know? I don't think... He's a good play. He's a very good play at a very good price point. He's not... I don't think you have to force him, is what I'll say. I don't think you have to force yourself onto Rondo in this situation. At shooting guard, we've got two interesting options here in this Portland-Houston game. CJ and Eric Gordon. Okay, I don't want to chase CJ McCollum, but I realize that it is Chasey, but he's at a really good price and a really good matchup. Okay, there's the logic here. Okay, he had an excellent game against Denver, and he's played similarly well against Houston. We know that he averaged 39 going into that Denver game against Denver this year. Well, guess what? He's averaged 39 against Houston in two games as well. It's a very similar profile of matchup for him. Pace-up games where they allow a lot of shooting and attempts, CJ goes off, you know? And CJ has, you know, access to basically one of the highest shooting percentages in three-pointers allowed in playing Houston. They allow the highest number of three-pointers on the slate to guards, you know, not the high, and then like the second or third highest shooting percentage. So I really like CJ McCollum in this spot. You know, like I said, we talked about how he's playing that second unit point guard, which is really, really, really exciting. You know, and he's playing at home in a game where they have a lot of momentum. And I think, you know, he's just been really, really good. He's plus 5 at home right now. He's averaging 35 FanDuel points at home, 35 minutes. You know, I just really like him in this spot. I think he shoots more at home and he plays better there in Portland. So let's get some CJ McCollum at 7-2. It's a very nice price for a guy who has a great ceiling of 40 points. Eric Gordon, though, is underpriced at 4-8. I just really love Eric Gordon as a person. I think he's just like, I love how he quietly went into that 3-point shooting contest and just shut everybody up. You know, he had a stinker against Golden State, but before that, he was basically setting himself at a 20-point floor, 20 to 25 points as a range of outcomes. For a cash game play, that's going to get 30 minutes in a plus matchup against Portland in a high-total, high-pace game, who we know can shoot the three in a situation where they're going to need scoring. I really, really like Eric Gordon. I think you don't have to force him in there, but if you're looking for a cheap shooting guard who has a really nice floor, I think Eric Gordon is your option. Now, Lou Williams he's got a way higher ceiling. And Lou Williams, when he was on the Lakers, has had some really sexy performances against the Blazers. Not sure if you know that, guys. God, Lou is literally, there's going to be some Lou games in the playoffs. It's going to be really fun. going to be a Lou game or two in the playoffs. Like almost like a J.R. game. You know those J.R. Smith games where J.R. is like, J.R. Smith is 7 for 8 from three-pointers in the first half, and the Cavaliers have a 14-point lead. You know, that game, there's going to be a Lou Williams game. Like, Lou Williams absolutely on fire. There's going to be a couple of those, so those will be really fun. Small forward, Wiggins, Warren, two of my favorites. You guys know I like these guys. Wiggins at 7K at home, high total at home. The Wolves are so much better at home, guys. I don't know if we know this. They're really good at home, especially from a fantasy perspective. So the same trend that I ran for Towns and Rubio, high pace, high total. Wiggins hasn't scored below 34 points in those situations. In those same games when Rubio and Towns went bananas, Wiggins went bananas as well. One time he went for 50, and then he just went for 50 against the Lakers last game. In these situations when he can run, Wiggins goes nuts because he's really the only guy who runs on the Wolves, right? Him and Chris Dunn run. And when they get out going together and they get a pace-up game, man, it is something to see. It's not Gorgie Jang running. It's not Rubio running. It's Wiggins and Dunn, and they are pushing it. And it's really, really, really fun to watch. So I like Wiggins a lot at 7K. I think he's a 5X cash game lock. I think he's a really, really safe situation. TJ Warren, underpriced. He's just too... It's just crazy that he's still 6'6". The FanDuel pricing algorithm just isn't quick enough. It doesn't react quickly enough, and we have to take advantage of these kinds of things. Now, back-to-back games with 40. Now, this isn't Charlotte or Atlanta. This is the Clippers. The Clippers are a much more efficient defense. They're a much better defense than both of these teams. Now, they do allow a higher... They do allow more scoring, okay? They do allow more fantasy points. They play at a higher pace than Atlanta. They play at a higher pace than Charlotte. That's true. And Warren doesn't have an amazing history against the Clippers this year, but a couple of those games where was early in the season, we had limited minutes with limited minutes with Peege in the lineup. Okay. So we do have to temper our expectations a little bit, but I think that what we like about TJ Warren is this. Okay. What I really like about TJ Warren is if Devin Booker is out with the ankle, pardon me. He could be. What you really like is listen to these minutes. In the last five, let's say the last six games that he's played, because he sat two in there. Minutes of 41, 37, 45, 31, 39, and 40. I mean, he's only doing a fantasy point per minute, but when you get 40 minutes, that's pretty awesome. You know, I mean, that's pretty awesome. So I don't really see, there's no one else to play in that team. I mean, what are they going to, I guess they could give Jared Dudley some run, but they're not going to play Dudley that much. So I think you get 36 minutes out of TJ Warren. He took 20 shots he took 20 shots against the Hawks. Clearly they're saying it's okay to shoot, and TJ really likes the basketball. So I don't mind TJ Warren in this spot. I think the floor is 20, 24 points, 4X just about. Right? And then we know the ceiling is 40. You know, and maybe you get some garbage time production out of TJ Warren in the fourth quarter. I don't think you have to have him, but I love the price. And I think that the value offerings at small forward are kind of meh. That's the truth of it, right? Like, you go below TJ Warren, yeah, you got Ariza and Rondae Hollis-Jefferson and Marcus Morris in a good matchup with Brooklyn, but Marcus Morris just not getting the same minutes, you know? I mean, 28 minutes, just not playing well, you know? He only had 21 points. That's his ceiling right now. And, you know, Van Gundy is just too hard to trust. You know, I think you're taking a risk there. You know, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, however, at 4'9", is much more interesting. We'll talk about him. I mean, his game log in the last five is just insane. If you look at FanDuel, it's just a straight line at 30, 31, 32, 32, 31. Really, really interesting play. But I love TJ Warren in this spot as well. So I don't think you're forcing it with Teej. Power forward, it's easy. It's Gorgie Jang and Tobias Harris. Underpriced. 30 minutes. These are perfect cash game plays. We talk about cash game players, 7K players that can go for 40. 6 and 7K players that can go for 40, 5K players that can go for 30. Two 5K players getting 30 minutes who could easily go for 40 based on their matchups. Gorgui Dieng against the Lakers, Tobias Harris against the Nets. Just perfect cash game plays. I mean, you can have both, or you can take one, I think, but it's very smart to take one of them, okay? Tobias had 40 against the Nets last time. Dieng had 30 against the Lakers last time. Now, I think if you're going to, if you're like me and you don't trust Van Gundy, then Dieng is the safer play. Okay. And at 5'2", you know, he's going to get 36 minutes at home in a game against the Lakers. That's great. He's been playing very well. I think, you know, the thing that you like about Dieng too is he kind of does more than just, he does a lot more than just score, which, you know, is why you like Tobias Harris as well. But, you know, I think you look at his numbers, you know, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks, and a steal, you know, in the Portland game when he really had a nice game. 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, 4 steals. You know, he plays well down there. He plays good defense. And I think, you know, against the Lakers, I think we could really see a nice game from him for sure at home. So, Dieng, Harris, take your pick. You know, again, 30 minutes, 30 points, very, very much in play for both of these guys. Center, I mean, I'm going to give you one guess. I'll give you a guess. If you're looking at your slate, I'll give you one guess who it is. Did you guess Yusuf Nurkic? You are correct, sir. Of course it's Nurk, man. A slate with Nurk, a pod without Nurk is no pod at all, my friends. A pod without Nurk is no pod at all. 7-5, still a great price for a guy that we've seen go flirt with 50 in a number of games this year, flirt with 60. I mean, just does it all. I mean, 33 points and 16 rebounds in 33 minutes against Denver. You know, basically has a 30-point floor, a 60-point ceiling, a 77-point ceiling. God, man, I love this guy. I love this guy. And I think in this situation against the Rockets, you have to really, really, really like him. You know, the minutes are there. He's at home. He's played extremely well at home recently. You know, he plays well pretty much anywhere. He hasn't, the splits for home road splits aren't really that drastic. But the price is good. He's a 5X candidate. I really do think that as far as center goes, it's Nurk or Towns. It really is Nurk or Towns. I think that you really, really like both of them in this situation. And I don't think you have to be too concerned about either of them, to be honest with you. You know, the Rockets against the center is they don't rebound well. They don't defend the paint that well. There's tons of possessions here. Pace up situation, just like we had against Denver. Very similar profile. Very similar profile in the way that they allow peripherals. They allow scoring to bigs. And there really, really are a lot of possessions here. Now, do I think we're going to get 58 out of them? No, I don't think. I think that's crazy. These are outlier performances. But I do think that Nurk is in a really, really, really good position. You know, it's the only thing that I want to caution us against, and the reason that I will say is there's a limit, more limited ceiling. We're not going to see 58 from him again. I think 40 is in the cards. I think 30 is a really nice floor to set. I'll set the floor at 30. I'll hope for 40, which is exactly what we want in cash games. 7K player who can go for 40, okay? Now, the reason that the Rockets are getting better against the center is because they're giving more minutes to Nene. Nene is not Clint Capella. And Nene is much stronger than Clint Capella. And Nene will probably guard Nurk. And in the last 5 and 10 games, they have been getting slowly but surely better against the center. You know, they're still bottom 10 of the league. They're still very much below average, you know. And against the center, they profile very, very similarly. Like I said, on the season, you know, they profile very similarly to the, they're not nearly as bad at rebounding as the, you know, the Knicks, the Lakers, or the 76ers, or the Nets, really. They're not, but they do allow a lot of scoring. They allow as much scoring as the Knicks, the Lakers. You know, they don't, they're getting better, against the, in the rebounding column. Okay. But, you know, in the last 5, they are profiling very similarly to the Wizards, profiling very similarly in the last 10 to the Wolves. You know, it just these teams that are kind of below average against the center, the teams that don't scare you against the center, you know, and on the season, we know that they allow a lot of scoring. You know, the rebound numbers are better. However, as far as scoring, they do allow some of the most scoring to the center. They allow as much scoring to the center as the Rockets, or excuse me, as the Lakers do. So it's not hard for them scoring centers to get buckets against them. So, you know, and the Wizards. I mean, DeAndre did work against them last night, guys, the Wizards. And we would start Nurk against the Lakers, too. So I think the scoring upside is there for Nurk in this situation, okay? So Nurk at 7-5 is in a really, really good spot. And I really just don't think you have to force yourself. You know, if you want to be contrarian and you want to go to Drummond, that's fine. But Drummond just is limited with Van Gundy weird rotations, you know. Scores 26 points against New York in the first half, and then he only ends up with 5 second half points. Why? Because he sits. Because Van Gundy doesn't, like, he just is a weirdo. I don't know. I mean, if you think he's going to, I don't know. I don't trust him. I don't trust Van Gundy. And I think Nurk's offensive game is better. I'd rather have Nurk as a late hammer than Drummond. You know, and yes, you could go down to the value, guys, but I don't think you have to force it. I don't think you have to. At Bargain Basement, 5K and below, let's talk about it. Let's get into the bargain values here. Let's look at point guard. At point guard, you got to look at Ish Smith. You have to, guys. You absolutely have to look at Ish in this situation at Detroit. There's going to be no Reggie Jackson probably in the lineup. You know, I mean, Ish is just in a great spot, and honestly, the whole world is going to be autumn because it's Brooklyn. It's cheap savings on a slate when you want studs. It's easy. Ish Smith, 5-3, go for it. You know, why not go for it? You know, and then I think you easily go down to, and here's one of my favorite sneaky plays here on the slate, Chris Dunn. Hopefully algorithms won't be on him. They might be, but Chris Dunn, Spectre has been talking about him every single day with heart emojis. Chris Dunn, last four games, 24 minutes, 35 minutes, 29 minutes, 26 minutes. He is getting a lot of really good run alongside Rubio and at the point guard. I think that this is basically the only other person that Tibbs is letting into the rotation. Right. And I think what he's doing is he's sacrificing Shabazz because he's saying, Shabazz, I know what you are. I know you're who you are. I know what you give this team. And he's giving those minutes. He's giving minutes, taking minutes away from Brandon Rush and Shabazz. And he's giving them to Chris Dunn, which is smart because, you know, at the end of the season, you want to get run for your rookies. And Chris Dunn's doing great work with them at 3-9. He is one of my favorite plays here against the Lakers. You know, young team, rookies against rookies. I don't see any reason that Tibbs doesn't trust Dunn to play well in this situation and give him 25 minutes. So I love Dunn and I love Ish Smith. And what do we say? We don't fade a value point guard. Too many touches, too many opportunities to handle the ball, score in transition, distribute. You know, when you have a value point guard, you take it because it is, those are some consistent producers, you know, and this is a slate where you have value at point guard. So I really like Ish and Chris Dunn. At shooting guard, I already talked about Lou. You know, I'm also obligated to talk about shooting guards against the Nets, which would mean that I by contractual DFS obligation, I'm required to discuss Kentavious Caldwell-Pope at 4-7, Kentavious Caldwell inconsistent. Here's what you're playing with here, guys. 31 points against Miami. How? Miami is great against the two. 14 points against the Knicks. Terrible against the two. It doesn't make sense. I don't know when this guy is going to score. I don't trust him. He has these huge ups and downs, and okay, yes, he played really, really, really well against Brooklyn. Not really, really, really well, but he played well against Brooklyn, right? He had 27 points at them against them on, you know, on the road. And he seems to be playing better at home. KCP, definitely in play. Lou Williams, definitely in play. But then I think you have to go down and you have to think about some of the you have to think about some of the guys that are playing in the Clippers rotation. Jamal Crawford, for example, getting extra minutes, getting extra run, trying to relieve JJ Redick. You know, he played 29, he's played 25 plus minutes basically in every single one of the last 10 games. And against the Suns, that's a really, really nice number. 25 plus minutes at 3-6 against the Suns. I mean, Jamal Crawford can get hot. And against the Suns this year, he has played really, really well. If I'm remembering correctly, he went 10x one night against the Suns. And I do remember this because he was, I had him. Let me see what he's averaged against the Suns this year. 21 points in the last five games, by the way. Jamal Crawford, 21 points in the last five games, 20 points on the road, okay? Let's see. Phoenix. Three games against Phoenix. Guess what he's averaged? 30 points. Jamal Crawford, dude, let's go. Because here's what happens. In those games against the teams like the Knicks, and then they're going to run the starters 28 minutes. They're going to give the bench the whole fourth quarter. And Austin Rivers is hurt, which means you get even more Jamal Crawford. Maybe even a little bit of Raymond Felton. Fat Raymond Felton. Love that man. Don't call him fat. Respect Raymond Felton, man. Old man basketball. Let's go. Give me Mo Spates. That is my pickup team. Old man pickup team. Let me get on the court with the four oldest Clippers. Paul Pierce, Mo Spates, Raymond Felton, and Jamal Crawford. Get me in that rotation. Let's go. That would be great. I would love to play on that team. All about the same age. Slightly overweight, except for Jamal, because he's just wicked skinny. Slightly overweight, everybody. Paul Pierce, Mo Spates, me. Oh, man. Give me a Clippers jersey. I'm feeling it right now. That would be fun. Small forward, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. I love Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. He has been so consistent lately at 4'9", getting absolutely excellent production. Now, you have him in some of these spots where you have, you know, really good position for him to succeed based on matchup. Okay, Philadelphia, terrible rebounding front court team. Atlanta, no Millsap. Washington, he had a nice game. They really clearly don't have a front court right now. They're struggling in the front court. Phoenix, same thing. Phoenix, he went 2 fantasy points per minute. That's craziness. Against Detroit, he struggled. Makes sense. They have good rebounders in Detroit. He only had 4 rebounds and 4 points. So he struggled there in Detroit. So I think be careful what you wish for with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson in this spot. You may as well go with Marcus Morris, because you don't have to go Marcus Morris. Honestly, maybe go Trevor Ariza. You know, Ariza playing well, playing really, really well in the last couple games. You know, it's kind of hard to predict what he's going to do, but the man has still got it. He's productive, and he's getting 30 minutes. You know, that's kind of, I think, a little bit safer, because I don't trust Marcus Morris, and I maybe don't know what you're going to get from Rondae Hollis-Jefferson against a good front court. Not a young team, Detroit. They have veterans, you know, and he's going to basically be up against Tobias Harrison and Drummond. So limited upside there for RHJ, but he is consistent lately. Power forward, Al-Farouq Aminu, love him in this spot. He's underpriced. His price went down. He was 48 and he went down to 46. I'm not really sure why. But Aminu, like I said, very consistent minutes, very consistent production, putting up basically a 20-point floor in the last couple games. You know, flirting with a double-double in a lot of these games. You know, 10-9 against New York, 8-6 against Minnesota, 9-10 against LA, 15-9 against Denver, you know, does a lot. Now, the floor is scary. The floor is scary for Aminu because it's like 8 points. Because if the shot isn't falling, then Aminu isn't going to play well. But he has been playing really pretty well. And I think that at 4-6, it's a calculated risk for a guy who has a positive front court matchup. All right. You know, his minutes are secure. He's going to get 25 plus minutes. We know that he is, you know, a solid player. Oh, wow. He went to Wake Forest. You know who else went to Wake Forest? James Johnson. It's the same guy. They go to the same neck tattoo artist. Same neck tattoo artist. Same guy does their kind of I don't give a fuck haircut. Really nice. Can you imagine, man? Al Farouq Aminu, James Johnson. That's a scrappy front court right there. Okay, so against Houston this year, Aminu has had. He wasn't in that. He wasn't in for that Houston game. That was when he was injured. That was earlier in the year. He was injured in the winter. Okay, so he hasn't played it. He hasn't played them this year, but he has, you know, this is a plus matchup for him. You know, he's going to get his minutes. I like Aminu at 4'6". I think you could set his floor at about 20 points. At center, like I said, I prefer Nurk. I prefer Cat. However, I think that you have an opportunity with Rolo and Nene. I think you have an opportunity with Rolo and Nene. Both very consistent minutes, both below 5K. And if you really want another stud in your lineup, then Rolo and Nene are going to be two of the best investments that you can have. Zubac is there, but here's the thing about Zubac. He doesn't really get a lot of minutes. He hasn't gone, I mean, he got really good minutes against the Clippers. I don't know why he got so many minutes against the Clippers, but it's very inconsistent. It's like 12 minutes or 30 minutes. So clearly something's up with the way that they're playing Zubac in that rotation. I'm not sure if they just kind of want to nurse the kid because he's little, you know, not give him too much. He's not small physically. He's just young. He's freaking 19 years old. I don't know. Zubac. Nene or Rolo, very, very safe. Both below 5K, you know, Nene, 25 minutes probably against Nurk, you know, possibly 10 and 10 here. That's what you hope for with Nene when you play him. The Rolo does this amazing thing where has these terrible, terrible games. And then he bounces back for a 30 burger, you know? And I think against the Cavs, Rolo has had some good games and we know that they're suspect, you know, they're suspect, in the front court. So, you know, you can go Rolo here for sure, but I, you know, personally, I'm a Nurk man. You guys know I'm a Nurk man. Anyway, so that's where we're at for the bargain basement. Let's move on. Let's talk about some lineup construction ideas here. And I think that there's a couple ways that you can go. All right. So let's dive into lineup lock. All right, I'm going to work through a couple options here, but the first one is a real stars and scrubs type lineup. All right, this is where I'm going to basically give you guys, you know, what I think it's viable. I think it's very viable, stars and scrubs, and it has a really, you know, it's not too scrubby, to be honest with you, and it is kind of nice. I really like it, but I'm going to work I'll work with the Stars and Scrubs, and then I'll show you guys a couple other possibilities of what you can do to kind of be a little bit more safe. The first one, though, is James Harden and Kat. All right. Let's say we have Harden and Kat in the lineup. Okay. Very, very, very possible. Okay. That means that you're going to have to spend down in a couple other spots on the slate. Ish Smith, Chris Dunn at point guard. Very, very easy to go Ish Smith, Chris Dunn. Like them a lot. Okay. At shooting guard, it's Harden and then Jamal Crawford. As long as Jamal gets those minutes, Jamal is in a really good position. At 3-6, I really like him against Phoenix. I think it's a good matchup for him, no question. Small forward, pretty straightforward. It's Andrew Wiggins and TJ Warren. Love those grout plays. They have ceiling. Power forward, Tobias Harris and Georgie Dang. Wow. Okay, this is pretty easy. And then at center, you have Kat. So you have three guys that you're really saving on, and Ish Smith, Chris Dunn, and Jamal Crawford. You're allowing yourself Harden and Towns, but then you have a lot of real nice grout plays that are 30-minute guys, and Wiggins, Warren, Harris, and Jang. This is a very viable lineup. I'm not going to lie. It's a very viable lineup. Now, if you are trying to be a little bit more balanced, I understand that, and you want a little bit more exposure to the Houston-Portland game, that makes sense to me. There's a very easy way to do that, okay? You can take out Jamal Crawford, plug in CJ McCollum, take out Towns, plug in Nurk, take out Tobias Harris, plug in Al-Farouq Aminu, okay? And then you get your Blazers exposure right there. And those are my favorite Blazers, by the way, on the slate. McCollum, Aminu, and Nurk. So if you want to be overweight on the late game, then this is your overweight Houston-Portland lineup. Okay? And this has just basically a little bit of a Houston-Portland stack in here at the end, which you guys know how much I love late hammers. Love them. Okay? This is that lineup. Ish Smith, Chris Dunn, Harden, McCollum, Wiggins, Warren, Aminu, and Jang. Now, you could go Aminu Harris, too. I don't know. You're going to have to look into that. I said I trust Jang more just because of the minutes. The range of outcomes is very similar. But then again, Harris does have the Nets. But then again, Jang does have the Lakers. And then Nurk at center. Okay, so that's the Harden-centered lineup. Now, I think if you wanted to do a Kat lineup, you really could. And this is there's a really, really interesting way to differentiate yourself here if you do a Kat lineup. All right. Now, let's say we go back to Jamal Crawford as our shooting guard two. All right. So I'm going to take out Nurk, and I'm going to put in Towns. I'm going to leave the rest of it. I'm going to take out Harden, and I'm going to put in Jamal Crawford. This is going to give me the opportunity to really, really spend up at point guard in a nice way. I'm going to take out both of my point guards, okay? And I can do Kyrie and, I thought for sure I'd be able to do a Kyrie Rondo. I thought I had that. I can do a Rubio and a Russell. I could do a Kyrie and I really thought that I had a Kyrie and Rondo, if I remembered that correctly. A Kyrie Rondo situation. Well, we don't. We don't have a Kyrie Rondo. You almost can fit in Kyrie right there, but not quite. I guess what you could do is you could leave Ish in there and you could go Kyrie and Ish. And then spend up from Jamal Crawford up to KCP, for example. But I just don't understand. KCP versus Jamal Crawford, very similar range of outcomes, right? 25 points, probably. You know, KCP, obviously, we know his minutes are very secure. He's probably going to get more minutes, and he's got a great matchup. So if you want to go KCP, then fine. It's not really a KCP guy, personally. But this one's interesting as well, because you get exposure to the Cleveland-Chicago game, which if you want Cleveland-Chicago exposure, that's fine. You have Kyrie, Ish, KCP, McCollum, Wiggins, Warren, Aminu, Jang, Towns, okay? So, you know, I think my point is that you're either building around Harden, or you're building around Towns, or you're building around both. Okay? And you're taking the value at point guard. The only point guard, I mean, you could pay up at point guard easily for Rubio and Irving, you know, and I think that that's very, very viable. Rubio Irving at point guard is very, very viable in this situation. But if you're not going Rubio Irving, then I really want to see you go Ish and Chris Dunn. And I know Chris Dunn makes us a little bit nervous, and I have no problem saying, you know, if people are saying, I don't know, dude, Ish, like, Dunn makes me nervous. What if, you know, what if he just doesn't get any run or he shows his floor? I mean, the thing is that at 3,900, you know, he's not going to kill you as long as you get a couple extra points out of the rest of your lineup. That, my friends, that is where we are at for today. You know, it's going to be a good slate. It's a really nice slate, guys. I just, you know, it's a question of how are you going to pick your studs? Are you going to do two studs? Are you going to do one stud? Are you going to do, you know, are you going to try to hammer one game, hammer the late game? Are you going to try to distribute yourself across a couple games? Your call. Totally your call. Up to you guys to figure out what you want to do with those lineups. Good luck tonight in your contests. Check out the Patreon page. Share the Patreon page, because coming up on April, we want to get more people in there for the stretch run of the NBA season, so they have access to this cheat sheet, so they have access to, you know, the lineup logic Slack channel community. Get in there if you're not on the Slack channel. It's going to be great. You know, Thursday, great slate. Tonight, recording with my man, the one and only, the professor, Josh Fernandez. You know, I think it's going to be a good one, guys. It's going to be a big scoring night, though. It's going to be a big scoring night. So let's be careful. Let's be careful. So everybody keep working on your lines. Good luck in your contest tonight, and I will see you.